Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live down the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with the second part of our series of programs entitled The Vatican and Europe. We will learn more about these programs after we've had some music. Thank you. the Vatican, and Europe. We continue with part two of this important subject tonight, with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we'll be discussing where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned, where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from, why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible, how long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for, and what lessons has Jesus for us about the Vatican today. Last week, listeners, we studied Daniel chapter 2 and saw that the Lord gave King Nebuchadnezzar a dream. Daniel was called to interpret this dream for the king and explain that the king was given a vision of the future kingdoms of this world that would rise up on the earth after his. History testifies that this prophecy has been fulfilled so far exactly as the Lord has given. This week, we will move on to the parallel prophecy of the four world kingdoms that is recorded in Daniel 7. We will see that this is a repetition and enlargement of the prophecy of the four world kingdoms that are mentioned in Daniel 2. So let us now pray to open our study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. As we continue to study your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to strengthen our minds and open our minds, and to teach us the truth of your holy word is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican and Europe, Part 2. Continuing an overview of world history. And so once again, where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? We read in John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We read in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, this is Jesus speaking once again. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." As we studied last week, listeners, the first and most important lesson that we need to understand is that the Bible testifies of Jesus. As we continue to study to find out more about the Vatican and its influence in Europe, we will learn from the Bible why Jesus, the Almighty God, the second person of the Godhead, testifies about the Vatican in world history. We will gain a greater insight this week to see why Jesus wants his people to know when the Vatican would start to reign and when it would come to its end. There is, in the Bible, a parallel prophecy about world history, as first given in Daniel chapter 2. This is in Daniel chapter 7. When God desires his people to know more about an important subject, he repeats it and enlarges it and explains it in more detail. It is a method taught by the Holy Spirit called repetition and enlargement. Let us study to see how the four beasts symbolized in Daniel 7 are a repetition and enlargement of the four kingdoms that are represented in the statue in Daniel 2. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 1 to 15. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the teeth of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. The Bible records that in the first year when Belshazzar, king of Babylon, reigned, God gave Daniel a vision of 4 great beasts that would come up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, the second like a bear, the third like a leopard, and the fourth beast was dreadful and terrible, different to all the other beasts before it. It had 10 horns. Daniel saw that among the 10 horns of the fourth beast would come up another little horn that would pluck up 3 horns by the roots. In this little horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel also beheld the Ancient of Days, and a fiery stream issuing from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and that the judgment was set, and the books were opened. He then saw the little horn and the beast being slain, and the Son of Man being given by the Ancient of Days a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. The sight of all these things grieved Daniel and troubled him. But Daniel was given the interpretation of the things that he saw when he was in vision. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 16 to 28. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue of his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings, that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand unto a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, as they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So for our first comparison, listeners, if we compare the description of the fourth kingdom in Daniel 7 with the fourth kingdom in Daniel 2, we see some striking parallels. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40, we read, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise." In Daniel chapter 7 and verses 19 to 22, we read, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue of his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." We have the same characteristics explained for the fourth kingdom in Daniel 7 as the fourth kingdom in Daniel 2, being as strong as iron and breaking other nations into pieces and bruising them. But in Daniel 7, the Lord gives us a more detailed description of the predicted reign and history of the fourth beast. We understood last week, and as historically understood by Protestants and world history, that the fourth kingdom is pagan Rome. Daniel was shown that the Roman kingdom will be divided into ten kings or kingdoms, symbolized by ten horns, as explained in Daniel 7 verse 24. He was shown that out of them another horn or kingdom would arise, being different from the first, and that he would subdue three kings. It is here that we begin to understand about why the Lord wants his people to know about the Vatican and world history. We have learned that the four beasts were four kingdoms that would arise out of the earth. This is explained in Daniel 7 and verses 17 and 23. With the interpretation, Daniel was also given more detail about the little horn power that would come up out of the ten horns of the fourth beast, before whom three horns fell. It would not only speak great words against the Most High, but the additional information now given to Daniel was that the little horn power would think to change times and laws. Daniel was also shown that after the saints were given into the hand of the little horn power, judgment would sit, and that this judgment would determine that the little horn's power would be taken away, and that the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. This is a parallel of what was revealed in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2, where it was shown that God's kingdom will break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms on this earth. But compared to the details given in the vision in Daniel 2, the vision in Daniel 7 gives a much more detailed overview of the events that would happen in the time of the fourth kingdom. It also makes it clear to God's people that the judgment in heaven would take place just before the end of the existence of the fourth kingdom. We read in Psalm 92 and verse 8, "But thou, Lord, art most high forever." We also read in Luke chapter 8 and verses 27 to 28. "And when he went forth to land," this is Jesus, "there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" The Bible explains to us that the Most High is another name given for the Supreme God. And so, in Daniel chapter 7, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had revealed to his people, through prophetic vision, that this little horn power would act against the Supreme God. Another name given in the Bible for acting against the Supreme God is Antichrist. We will see that this is the reason why the Vatican is mentioned in the Bible. We will have a break for some music, listeners, and we'll continue with our study afterwards. Listeners, we have studied so far tonight that the vision given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 is the repetition and enlargement of the dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. Let us study into history to learn what these symbols mean that were seen by Daniel in vision. Bible prophecy is history foretold. History is Bible prophecy fulfilled. The Bible is its own interpreter. In order to find out to what a symbol means when it is mentioned in Bible prophecy, then we must find a Bible verse or verses where an explanation is given of this symbol. We have already established that the vision of Daniel chapter 7 is a parallel prophecy to the vision and prophecy in Daniel chapter 2. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 17, "These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth." The Bible teaches us that the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the fourth beast represent four kings. They are the four universal kingdoms mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, commencing with Babylon, the lion, Medo-Persia, the bear, Grecia, the leopard, and Rome, the dreadful and terrible beast. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 23 to 24. "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings." The Lord had shown Daniel that the fourth beast, symbolic of the pagan Roman Empire, would have ten kings or kingdoms that would arise out of it. This is exactly what happened in world history. Let us hear what Pastor Kenneth Cox has to say. We will hear from his presentation more historical information that relates to the four kingdoms in Daniel 7.
We're going to go to the book of Daniel, and we're going to begin to take a look as the book of Daniel identifies the Antichrist force. We're going to go to Daniel, the 7th chapter. It says, "Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea." So it says that Daniel is having a vision, and in his vision he sees the wind blowing across the water, stirring up the great sea, it says. "And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other." So it says the wind is blowing across the water. And as a result of that, four beasts come up out of the earth. Now, we're going to identify certain things here this morning. One thing that we're going to get clear is when it talks about the wind blowing across the water, the scripture uses water in Bible prophecy to represent something. It says in Revelation, the 17th chapter and verse 15, "And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are" what? "Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." So you find in Bible prophecy, when you're studying Bible prophecy, that water represents people, nations, tongues. This is what it represents. So when he's talking about the wind blowing across the water, you find in Bible prophecy that wind has a definite meaning. In the book of Revelation, it says, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four" what? "Winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to" what? "Harm the earth and the sea." So you'll find that in Bible prophecy, that wind represents war, strife, commotion. It's talking about holding back the winds of strife. And so it's saying that the wind blew on the water, meaning war, strife among the people. And as the result of it, it says four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So we find four beasts rising up out of the sea. Now the scripture tells us exactly what these four beasts are. It tells us here in Daniel, says those great beasts which are four what? Kings which shall arise out of the earth. So it tells us clearly that there was war, there was strife among the people, and as the result, four different kingdoms rose up. We're going to quickly look at each one of those kingdoms. We're not going to spend much time on it. It tells us that the first one was like a lion. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off. It was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This lion, represented here in Daniel's 7th chapter, represented the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon of old. In fact, the scripture refers to Babylon as a lion. If you go over to the British Museum, they did much of the excavation on the ruins of Babylon. You will see there statues of lions with eagle's wings. They used that to represent the nation of Babylon. This happens to be the only beast of all of them we talk about that it says that a man's heart was given to it. And the reason a man's heart was given to it is because of the conversion of King Nebuchadnezzar, because he accepted the Lord. It says that a man's heart was given unto it. Babylon, one of the most gorgeous kingdoms in the history of man. Beautiful. He intended for that kingdom to last forever, but God had other ideas in mind. And it says that a second one arose that was like a bear. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side, had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said, thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. This second beast represented the kingdom of Medo-Persia. Medo-Persia overthrew Babylon. It says that the bear raised itself up on one side. It meant one side was taller than the other, and that's because the Persians were stronger than the Medes. This is a coalition of two powers coming together under one power, but the Persian part was stronger. That's why in your history books it refers to it as the Persian kingdom. The bear also had 3 ribs in its mouth, which represented the 3 countries that Medo-Persia overthrew, and they were Babylon, Libya, and Egypt were the 3 countries that she overthrew. Now you remember that God had prophesied that it would be overthrown. God even prophesied and called the man by name who would overthrow the city of Babylon, called Cyrus by name. 100 years before Cyrus was ever born, God called him by name, said exactly how he would overthrow the city. Cyrus took his men and they marched on the city of Babylon. Through the city of Babylon flowed the river Euphrates. When Cyrus and his men got close to the city of Babylon, they closed all the gates. And history says that the people went up on top of the walls of Babylon and threw food to Cyrus and laughed at him. Cyrus took his men and they marched down the Euphrates River, and at a selected spot they began to dig canals. And then at a certain night when Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was going to have a party, he broke the dike on those canals and diverted the river. And he and his men marched up the muddy bottom of the Euphrates River, and the 2-leaved gates that the scripture had prophesied would be left open, the guards were drunk and had left them open, and he and his men marched in and overthrew it. Over in the palace, they were having a party, and that's where the bloodless hand wrote on the wall, many, many tickle you parson. Daniel interpreted, thy kingdom is weighed in the balances and found wanting, and given this night to the Medes and the Persians, and so it fell. Let's go to the third beast. The third beast was like a leopard, it says. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given unto it. This beast represented the kingdom of Greece. Greece overthrew Medo-Persia, 331 B.C. Alexander the Great met Darius and the Medes and Persians on the plains of Arbela. Darius had 1 million men. Alexander the Great had 20,000. And Alexander the Great overthrew him. The 4 wings on the back of this leopard represented the swiftness with which Alexander the Great took everything. 7 years, he had conquered everything he could lay his hands on and wept because there was nothing else to conquer. In the height of his power, he is suffering from epilepsy, from malaria, and from drunkenness. And one night, in a drunken debauch, he realized he was dying, and he called in his four generals, and they asked him, "To who will you give the kingdom?" And he said, "I'll give my kingdom to the strongest." And so when Alexander the Great died, his kingdom was divided among his four generals, and that's why that leopard beast has four heads. Okay, Alexander the Great took everything that he could. But as his kingdom was divided, one of those generals began to give nurture to sedition against the others, and it brought about in history what was known as the dragon or the Roman Empire. After this, I saw in a night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. The fourth beast represented the iron monarchy of Rome. Rome overthrew Greece 168 B.C. And it says that this beast would do a lot of things. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. This power is the power that was ruling at the time Jesus was born, because you remember it was the decree of Caesar Augustus that sent Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. While they're there in Bethlehem, Christ was born. It's the very same power that crucifies him, because you remember he was tried in the court of Pilate. You remember, it was Roman soldiers that stuck the crown of thorns on his head. If you remember, it was a Roman soldier that stuck the spear in his side. Rome ruled from 168 B.C. to 476 A.D., longer than any other power. Now, follow carefully, because something begins to develop. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. Now, it says that this fourth beast had 10 horns. It's telling you that those 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom.
And so, listeners, as we look at the 10 horns or 10 kingdoms, following on for Pastor Cox's presentation, these 10 kingdoms that were to arise from the pagan Roman kingdom, let us turn now to another historical source. Gibbon, in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, gives the names of the 10 kingdoms that arose in that empire. They are as follows: 1, the Alemanni; 2, the Franks; 3, the Burgundians; 4, the Vandals; 5, the Suevi; 6, the Visigoths; 7, the Saxons; 8, the Ostrogoths; 9, the Lombards; and 10, the Heruli. See the Source Book for Bible Students, page 553, by Stephen Haskell, 1919 edition, for more information. Now we read in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 8 and 20. "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and the mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." Now, listeners, what 3 kingdoms that came up in the territory of the pagan Roman Empire were plucked up? And by whom were they plucked up or overthrown completely? History records that the kingdoms of the Heruli and the Vandals and the Ostrogoths were 3 Arian powers that would not recognize the Bishop of Rome as the head of the church. They were overthrown by the Church of Rome in the years 493 AD, 534 AD, and 538 AD, respectively. And here we see now who exactly the little horn power is. Here the Lord brings to view the history of the establishment of the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, and how it became a world-dominating power. I will quote from page 229 from a book called Story of the Sea of Patmos, written by Stephen Haskell. This will give us more of an insight as to how the Vatican, the papal power, slowly grew into supreme power in world history. It reads, in 330 AD, Constantine removed his capital from Rome to Constantinople. The ancient city was left to the papal power, and the Pope occupied in Rome a throne higher than any occupied by the Caesars. Constantine laid the foundation of the papacy, but it remained for Justinian to complete the edifice in 533 AD by declaring that memorable decree, which constituted the Pope the head of all the churches. The Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths were of the Arian faith and opposed to the Bishop of Rome. The decree could not go into effect until 538 AD, when the last of the opposing powers was overthrown by the armies of Justinian. So we see that as pagan Rome weakened in power, papal Rome gained strength until it eventually became the supreme power in the territory of the Western Roman Empire in the year 538 AD. Here we also can learn how the papal power was different or diverse from all the powers before it. It was an ecclesiastical power. The others were political. The year 538 AD is also significant, as there is another prophecy in the Bible that points to this starting date, which we have mentioned briefly. This prophecy is mentioned in Daniel 7 in verse 25. It covers a period of time called the time, times, and the dividing of time. It is another identifying mark of the little horn power. A time, times, and the dividing of time, the Lord stated, will be the length of time of which the papacy, the little horn power, was to rule and to persecute God's saints, after first gaining total supremacy in the territory of the pagan Roman Empire. Now, there are other Bible texts that also speak of this prophecy, but we will study more about this time prophecy in the next radio broadcast. All in all, God has given at least 8 identifying marks for this little horn power, in order that we can be absolutely sure of who the power is that Christ has warned us about in the Bible. These identifying marks are 1. The little horn arises out of the fourth kingdom. 2. It comes up after the fourth kingdom has degenerated into smaller kingdoms. 3. It shall be different from the 10. 4. It subdues 3 of the 10. 5. It shall speak great words against the Most High. 6. It shall wear out the saints of the Most High. 7. It will think to change times and laws. And 8. The saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and the dividing of time. We have initially covered 4 of the identifying marks of the little horn power mentioned in the prophecy of Daniel 7. These so far point us to the Vatican. Now, what we need to ascertain is, does the Vatican fulfill the other 4 identifying marks? If it does not, then it cannot be the little horn power mentioned in the prophecy of Daniel 7. But if it does, then we know for sure that this is the Antichrist power that Christ has warned his people about. As we continue with our study next week, we will see how the Vatican is the only power that historically fulfills all identifying marks of the little horn power, as the Lord has revealed in the prophecy of Daniel 7. We will have another break and come back with our closing thoughts. For our closing thoughts this evening, listeners, I will read from a book called Education, from pages 173 to 175 by Ellen G. White. The Bible is the most ancient and most comprehensive history that men possess. It came fresh from the fountain of eternal truth, and throughout the ages, a divine hand has preserved its purity. It lights up the far distant past, where human research in vain seeks to penetrate. In God's word only do we behold the power that laid the foundations of the earth and that stretched out the heavens. Here only do we find an authentic account of the origin of nations. Here only is given a history of our race, unsullied by human pride or prejudice. In the annals of human history, the growth of nations, the rise and fall of empires, appear as dependent on the will and prowess of man. The shaping of events seems to a great degree to be determined by his power, ambition or caprice. But in the word of God, the curtain is drawn aside, and we behold behind, above, and through all the play and counterplay of human interests and power and passions, the agencies of the all-merciful One, silently, patiently working out the counsels of his own will. God has revealed in his law the principles that underlie all true prosperity, both of nations and of individuals. This is your wisdom and your understanding, Moses declared to the Israelites of the law of God. It is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6, and chapter 32, verse 47. The blessings thus assured to Israel are, on the same conditions and in the same degree, assured to every nation and every individual under the broad heavens. The power exercised by every ruler on the earth is heaven imparted, and upon his use of the power thus bestowed, his success depends. To each, the word of the divine watcher is, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5. And to each, the word spoken to Nebuchadnezzar of old are the lessons of life. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. To understand these things, to understand that righteousness exalteth a nation, that the throne is established by righteousness and upholden by mercy, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, 16, verse 12, and 20 verse 28. To recognize the outworking of these principles in the manifestation of his power, who removeth kings and setteth up kings, Daniel 2:21. This is to understand the philosophy of history. In the word of God only is this clearly set forth. Here it is shown that the strength of nations, as of individuals, is not found in opportunities or facilities that appear to make them invincible. It is not in their boasted greatness. It is measured by the fidelity with which they fulfill God's purpose. So listeners, this lesson is a lesson that's given to each and every one of us for all time. Our strength as of nations is not found on the opportunities or facilities that appear to make us invincible or strong. Is not found in our boasted greatness, but our strength is measured by the faithfulness in which we fulfill God's purpose. And so I do pray that as we close, that each and every one of us, if we don't know now, that we would seek God and understand his purpose for our life, because this matter is life and death, listeners. Let us now pray to close this study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that for each and every person listening, Lord, that they would seek to understand your purpose. This world is driven, Lord, by head knowledge and, Lord, and titles and greatness of ability alone, not by the faithfulness by which individuals fulfill your purpose, not by the faithfulness by which individuals live by your law, not by the faithfulness of which people love and are honest and true and faithful to you and to their families, Lord, in accordance to thy will. Help us as Christians understand this, and I pray, Lord, that as we study week by week, Lord, that there'll be a clear picture, seeing that there's only two religions in this world, the true religion of God and Christ, and the false religion of Satan and his followers. Let us be followers of your true religion, and let us seek to be faithful to your purpose, Lord, so that when you come, we'll be fit citizens ready for your kingdom. I simply pray for and ask for these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org, or you can send a text message to 07944-062-786. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-the-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio for everything costs, then please send your donation through our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. On next week's program, we will continue with part three of this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast. Until next week, good night and God bless listeners.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.